Welcome. My name is Andrew, and this is the Who Dat Discussion, a New Orleans Saints podcast, where we talk about all Saints news, opinions, and reactions. So, guys, first, before we get really into any news or storylines, I just want to say sorry for this episode being a little late, and it's supposed to come out Sunday, and it's going to come out Monday, and also our film study is a little behind schedule because with the news of Gerald McCoy and how he's going to be staying with the Bucks, we had to take him out and edit him out of the film study, which is obviously going to be taking a little extra time, but expect both of those episodes out soon. Obviously, this one's going to come out Monday, and then later in the week, we're going to get that film study out. And it was really fun to do, but now all this editing, we're going to edit out McCoy, and we're going to do a new player. I think it's going to be Jonathan Hankins, more of a veteran-type player that the Saints could look to fill in, you know, for those defensive tackles, depending on who comes back, or you know, just in case Onyemata is suspended for the two games, or, you know, Rankins, if he's out, you know, we could have a Hankins there just to fill in for a little bit. The Saints may want to do that option instead of going all big in for, like, you know, Ndamukong Suh-type player or Sheldon Richardson, player like that. That's what I think that the Saints are definitely looking at there. But I think we're just going to jump into the Saints news this week. There is definitely some more news. The Antonio Brown saga, that continues. We have some quick news on that. And also, instead of doing our group-by-group recap for the 2018 season and looking forward to the 2019 offseason, we're going to talk about the scouting combine, which begins this week. So we're going to start with the news. And first off, this is a very interesting piece of news that picked up from another podcast with Josh Cadenzine. I saw it on Twitter at first, and then I went to check it out on the NOLANews.com Twitter, you know, network, all their good stuff they put out. But Cadenzine said that don't expect the Saints to bring in these, like, big tight end free agents. He thinks that the Saints will get Josh Hill as their number one tight end. Maybe they'll bring in a small type player. Maybe they'll draft, you know, a not so good, not like not so good, but a player, a young player that needs some work. And Josh Hill is going to be the number one tight end. That's what he thinks. Like, that's not set in stone. That's not what the Saints thinks. That's not a source. I just want to put it out there. But he's definitely knowledgeable about this team, and he's knowledgeable about the league, and I think he does a really good job with the Saints. So I do value his expertise and his opinion, and he thinks that Josh Hill will be the number one tight end here, and I'm not happy about that at all. I'm the first person to tell you since, you know, day one when the season ended in January, I said the Saints need to bring in a tight end threat, and if they don't, I think that they could falter, or, you know, like, they're gonna falter, but if they don't and they can't fill Ben Watson and they just fill him in with Josh Hill, it's gonna create a void, and that's not good for the Saints, especially now. It may not hurt them a lot, but over the Sean Payton era, Drew Brees era, we've had good tight ends, and I wouldn't want the Saints not to have a good tight end here when I feel like I think their options out here are very deep class, and they're not even gonna go after one. To me, that'd be a little disheartening. I think they should go after Jared Cook. But even if they can't get Jared Cook, you could still get guys. I know Jesse James, he's rumored to either stay in Pittsburgh or maybe go to the Bills. Look, I'm not a huge Jesse James fan, but I think he could be a good piece for us. And then also, even looking at guys like Austin Seferian Jenkins coming here, you know, he's a really good receiver, and he really hasn't played with a good QB. So maybe he comes here, plays with a good QB, and he can, you know, be better. I think he at least pick up a player like him. I really don't, maybe pick up a guy like, you know, Tyler Eifert, like a little risky guy, but I really don't advise the Saints to go into next year with Josh Hill as their number one tight end. And that's something against Josh Hill, but he's a number two guy. He's not a number one guy. He's a backup player. He can shine when you need him to shine, but he's just not that top guy. So on to our next headline, and it's going to be the Steelers will most likely trade Antonio Brown to an NFC team. Look, we're going to keep on covering this story until he's traded, because he's that good of a player. I believe that. I know some people don't want the Saints to get him. I think he's not so good. He's a good player. He's an impact player. And if the Saints got him, it would be huge. And, you know, to every Saints fan out there, if the Saints tomorrow traded for Antonio Brown, you're going to be happy. You're going to be excited. And that's why I'm covering it in detail. Maybe other people haven't. They don't think it's going to happen. But they're going to trade him to an NFC team. I'm looking at three teams right now. And if there's any more teams, guys, comment down below. You know, tweet us at Twitter, all that stuff, because I want to hear what you guys think. But this is what I'm thinking here. I think that when you're looking at it, it's going to be the Saints, 49ers, and Packers. And I really can't find another team in the NFC that really fits on the need for Antonio Brown. In the AFC, I think obviously the Ravens would be a team. They cut another receiver, which we're going to get into later, and I think he'd be obviously a really good fit there. A lot of other places, the Jets maybe. A lot of players need a, not a lot of teams, excuse me, need a really good wide receiver, star wide receiver. But if they don't turn into that AFC team, NFC teams, you know, when you're looking at it, you're going to have the Saints, 49ers, and then also the Packers, I think, could use him as well. Think of him and Devontae Adams. That could be a really good tandem, just like Mike Thomas and Antonio Brown. Both be amazing tandems. I think Michael Thomas is better than Devontae Adams, but still, great receiver over there. But I don't think that he's going to go to really any other team. Maybe he goes, maybe they try to trade him to like the Panthers because they do need a wide receiver, but I don't think they would spend that money on, like, they don't really like having those big, big star players. They, you know, and those big personalities, look at Josh Norman, they, you know, sent him away. So I don't think that they're going to go after him. And really, after that, I'm thinking of all the other teams. No one really has that Antonio Brown need, stretch the field. I mean, look, any team could go after him, but I mean, I think these three teams are the teams that, one of these three, I think, are going to get Antonio Brown. I don't know if it's going to be the Saints, but I think it's definitely a possibility that the Saints go out and get him. And also, already three teams have asked the Steelers about Brown. And I'm hoping the Saints are one of them. If not, look, obviously, you still have a lot of time to think about it. But I do think that the Saints is the second round and Pete. And I also said, if it really gets down to it, at the third round from next year, or fourth round. And that's just what I feel. You're trading a player like Pete. Just really, it's more of a cap move. He's $9.6 million. And then Brown would only be 12. So you're really only taking $3 million of cap. And then that second round pick. Look, if with your second round pick, if you're picking Antonio Brown, that's not that bad of a move. I don't think anyone's saying that. Look at this year. When you're looking at your first round this year, it's Marcus Davenport. Think of like you're picking Marcus Davenport in this first round. We know that's what we traded for him. We gave up our first round pick to get Davenport. So now really in this draft, we have a lot of guys that we've gotten already. We've gotten a Davenport. We've gotten an Eli Apple, Teddy Bridgewater. So when you're looking at all these guys, it's not that bad of a draft class if you really want to think about it that way. But to me, I do think that the Saints should look at Antonio Brown. And if they don't, I really think that it's an opportunity loss. But if you look, when you're looking at it, I'd rather go after the tight end. I'd rather get Jared Cook. But it doesn't look like the Saints are going to get Jared Cook just by, you know, all these, you know, rumors saying the Saints may not get a tight end. But if the Saints have the option to get Jared Cook, you got to get out and get Jared Cook. I think he's the first option. Then after that, then I look at Antonio Brown, see what you only have to give up for him, and then maybe you can strike a deal with Pittsburgh. But I just thought those were very interesting details, and I wanted to share them with you guys. So now we're going to go on to like a kind of our cut segment that we've been doing the last few episodes. And we're going to look at just two players. One of them was supposed to get cut and didn't get cut, and one of them got cut. So first we look at the player that did get cut, and that is wide receiver Michael Crabtree. Last year he had 54 catches, 607 yards, and 3 touchdowns with the Baltimore Ravens. He signed, I believe, a 3-year deal, and they cut him after 1 year, which, again, is these players, he only got $8 million of his like 21 that he signed with. So again, these players, they're not going to be happy because they're not getting a lot of money out of their deals, only getting $8 million out of the 21 when you have other sports getting full guaranteed contracts. But anyways, I do think that Crabtree can be an option for the Saints on a short-term deal. Like me, you're going to obviously, I think you're probably going to give him 2 years, but if you think to give him 2 years, $6-7 million, I think that they may have to pull the trigger instead of getting a Dez Bryant-type player. And this is assuming that they don't get Antonio Brown. Because if they don't get Antonio Brown and you're thinking like Dez or Crabtree, maybe you spend that extra money that maybe you would have had with Brown, you use it for Crabtree and you got a really good receiver here. And he's also a good player in the red zone. Before this year, I know he didn't have, you know, a lot of touchdowns this year, only 3. But before that, he had 8, 8, 9 in the touchdown department. That's really, really good. You got to get off to him. He definitely, you know, in the red zone, he definitely gets open, especially on the jump balls, and he's going to leave, and you're going to have to guard him. So they're going to stop double-teaming Mike Thomas, and now they're going to leave both guys one-on-one, and that's going to create more opportunities for Michael Thomas. It's going to create more opportunities for Michael Crabtree, and I think the Saints will be better in the red zone, especially passing the ball in the red zone. I think he could be a good player. I think he'd be a good addition, especially if, you know, let's say you don't get Antonio Brown, and you're between him and Dez Bryant. I pick him. He's a more stable player. And especially if you're not using and allocating that money with an Antonio Brownside player. You go in, you get that sure player that's going to probably give you between, you know, about 600 yards, maybe 600, 800 yards, over 50 catches, and maybe, I'm hoping at this point of his career, about eight touchdowns, seven to eight touchdowns. That's really, really good, especially out of the number two spot. And I think that he's kind of at that point of his career where he's a full-fledged number two guy. He's not even looking to be that number one guy. But I think he could be a player that the Saints look at for sure. So also, kind of our second player that we're looking at in this cut segment is a player that didn't get cut, but he was expected to get cut, and that is Gerald McCoy. McCoy will stay with Tampa Bay. He was not like he was rumored to come to New Orleans, but he would have been a really good fit if the Saints, if he got cut and the Saints were looking to get that defensive tackle. I think the Saints should be looking to get that defensive tackle. I don't know if they will, especially at this point. Maybe you just re-sign your player here with Tyler Davidson, excuse me. And I think that if the Saints could get Davidson and they just draft, like maybe you get Kalen Saunders, who I really, really like, and maybe, you know, you could shore up that middle, and maybe you get a guy that, you know, is very, not old, but a veteran-type player that you could plug and play for a couple of games once, you know, David Onyemata comes back and Sheldon Rankins comes back, and you're just, and you're fine there. You could probably do that and get away with it, and the Saints would be fine. But I do think that a star-type player here would have been really nice, and Gerald McCoy would be that type of player. Maybe the Saints still do that. They can get a Ngamukong-Su player who's probably going to get $8, $9 million. People were rumoring the Saints last year that he had a visit and everything. So, look, he can come and maybe play. And I think he could come here. I think it's a possibility. I wouldn't say it's like, you know, 100% full-fledged, but I'd say it's, there's a chance. But I think I'm valuing that the Saints go over onto the offensive side and getting that skill position before they do really anything on the defense. That's just my opinion here. Now, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints went after this defensive tackle. I wouldn't be surprised if they went after a safety. But I would think they're going to stay away from the linebackers, and I think that they're going to stay away from really any other position besides tight end, wide receiver, and tackle. Those three positions and defensive tackle. Besides those three, I don't think you should go after really any other players. I think you just get a defensive lineman on the edge. Maybe you re-sign Alex Okafor. I would love to do that, but I think that's what the Saints should do there. So now onto our main topic for this week, and that's going to be the scouting combine and the five stories storylines I'm looking at going into this combine and this year and this draft, really. And we're gonna take a break from, you know, recapping our groups, and we're just gonna get right into these storylines. And look, I believe this combine, look, it's gonna be very interesting, because this is the first time our front office will get to look at these guys live. Most of these guys live. Now, obviously, they probably scouted them a little bit. They went to the scouting, the Senior Bowl. That's not all the players. Like, some of these players we haven't seen at all, like all the juniors and stuff. And this is really the first time we get to see them live and really get to talk with them and, you know, work out in these drills that, I mean, people say they don't matter, but I think they definitely do, at least a little bit. Obviously, the tape means a lot more, but these matter just a little bit. So we're going to go into these five storylines, and our first storyline is, can the Saints and can the fans really see potential tight ends to see if they're ready for that year one value, that year one starting value, and can the Saints get a player like that? There hasn't been many tight ends in the last couple of years that have been able to start right out of the gate and play really, really strong. Like, first year, first couple games, it just doesn't happen that much. Maybe the Saints could find that type of player, target him, and look at him in that second round of the draft. And maybe that's why the Saints maybe won't give up that second rounder for Antonio Brown. But I do think when looking at here, you got to look at, when you're looking at this type of starting potential, you got to look at the guys that you're going to pick in that second round. And I'm looking at Irv Smith, if he falls, Noah Font from Iowa, and then also Saints maybe want a blocking tight end that can also catch a little bit. TJ Hawkinson from Iowa as well. If the Saints are looking for more of a late round pick, maybe they see some player with a lot of potential and he's really not being talked about. Maybe you go after a player like Foster Moreau from LSU, or maybe a Caleb Wilson who we saw in the Senior Bowl, and the Saints were definitely linked to him. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints went late round and got these types of players. But what I'm going to be looking for with this tight end group is that, can we see someone start right out of the gate, play really good? Now, last year we did see some tight ends play good. You're looking at Dallas Goedert. He was really good late in the season. It took him time to get going, and I think realistically that's going to be the same with any tight end. And I think that the Saints, when looking at it, I think they should look to the free agent market. But here, look at these tight ends. I think if we see one really flash and, like, he's ready, he's starting material, right away. He's a good blocker. He's a good receiver. We can split him out wide if we need to. And I think if you see that type of player, you go after him. But I think this is really our first test to really see that, especially for the fans. And also, I'm looking at the GM as well. Maybe Mickey Loomis sees someone that he likes there, and they're going to pick in that second round. Irv Smith, I really like Irv Smith. I just don't think he's going to fall to us. Noah Font, another player. I mean, if he falls to us, maybe you go pick him. Hogginson, more of that blocking type tight end. So I wouldn't go after him there. I think we already have that in Josh Hill. But especially if the Saints may not go out in free agency and get that number one tight end, I would look in the draft then, and I want someone there. I don't just want Josh Hill, Dan Arnold, and the Who Man or Garrett Griffin. I just don't want the Saints to do that. I want them to go out and get that tight end, and maybe it's through the draft, and I can see it if you really want that second round. If I was the Saints, this is what I would actually do, and this is my full plan. I would sign Jared Cook to like around a 2-3 year deal. You keep Josh Hill, and then you sign one of these guys, and then you keep Dan Arnold in the back burner. If he really keeps coming, then if the Saints see a lot of potential in Dan Arnold, they probably won't pick a guy because that's really their young guy at that position. But if they don't see that much in Dan Arnold and they really don't see that he's going to be progressing to be that number one tight end of the future, I think you go out and try to get another one of these guys. And then you have a Cook-type player as a placeholder. And I think that the Saints could definitely do that. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do that in this year. And look, if they don't, that's just what I think they should do. If they don't, maybe you go and get a young player in the draft to go along with Arnold, and you really don't pick anyone that's high profile in the tight end free agent market. But that's just my opinion. That's what I feel. So our second storyline is, will a QB shine to warrant a further look for the Saints? The Saints aren't expected to go QB really overall. Maybe you go late in the draft, but when I'm looking at it, there are three guys that I'm intrigued by, and I think that the Saints should at least take a look at. I don't know if they're going to go all for it, but these are the guys I'm a little intrigued by just looking at. I don't think really any quarterback's really great, but these are the guys, like, if they show something, I would definitely take a pick on them, especially if it's later. Two of these guys are going to be high-end picks. The other guy's going to be more of a lower-end pick. But when you're looking at Daniel Jones from Duke, I really liked what he showed in the Senior Bowl. His pocket presence was really good. He was really good sliding in the pocket. Just really, really good stuff. He does have a good arm, that prototypical type player. He's good out of the pocket. Sometimes he gets a little reckless with the ball. But I think under Drew Brees, he can learn how to just, you know, hone his skills in. He's a cannon of an arm, and he can be a really good player in, I think, 1 to 2 years. I think he has a chance to be the NFL starter and even that Pro Bowl type player. I really do think that he has the potential of that. And we'll see whatever team he goes to if they can, you know, churn out that potential to be reality. Then, obviously, more of the wild card type player, the Saints would have to move up and get him. And I don't think the Saints have the capital to do this. But, hey, if he falls to, like, the 20s, I think maybe the Saints will take a look at him. And that's going to be Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Oklahoma. He, you know, was supposed to play baseball, plays football now, and he's expected to be a first-round pick. I don't expect the Saints to get him. But, hey, if he goes off and shines in this combine, and I'm not sold with Kyler Murray. So, really, right now, I don't think he warrants first-round pick. I don't know if he even warrants a second-round pick. He would have to go and really show something throwing the ball here and his decision-making skills. And I don't know if he can show that in the combine or even in his pro day. But to me, if he really shines, maybe the Saints do look to trade up for him and go into the, you know, move up in the draft, high in the draft, for the second year straight. And then the third player, which I do think he could be a good player if the Saints have the time. I think you're going to need more than 1 year. But with time, and they keep Drew Brees maybe 2 years, maybe even 3 years, you get this player if you feel like Drew Brees has a, you know, more than 1 year future for the Saints, and that's going to be Tyree Jackson out of Buffalo. This guy has an absolute cannon. He's a really good pocket passer. His delivery is a little long, but I think, again, with Drew Brees, Sean Payton, you can learn to really hone this guy's skills in. The Saints have a lot of later round picks, and I wouldn't be surprised if they pick a player like Tyree Jackson and see what he can do sitting behind Drew Brees. That's just what I feel there. Our third storyline is going to be the D-line talent and how it's so plentiful, and what are the guys I'm really looking at it when you're looking at all this talent. I'm looking at Saunders. I'm going to say it probably until the Cowns come home. He's going to be, I think, a really good player in this league. I think he'll be a starter from day one. Now, if I was the Saints, maybe you don't get Tyler Davidson and you pick Kalen Saunders. You get these guys, and I think you get this guy. Maybe you get that star-type player, and you pick Kalen Saunders, and that would be amazing. That's a really, really good combo. But I think he's going to be a starter from day one, especially. I think he's going to be that type of player that he can just plug and play. And if you can get him in the third, second round, going to be a really good player. I also really liked Charles Omenui from Texas in the Senior Bowl. I'm hoping I said his name correctly. If I didn't, I am sorry to Charles there. My apologies. But I do think that he has a really high drive, and he just battles against. He's really good at getting to the QB and not stopping to do that really high motor. That's the word I was looking for. Really high motor. His moves need work for sure, but if you can get him a little later, I think he can be that type of player that he can definitely develop into a good player there. And then also, when looking at our fourth storyline, I'm looking at the wide receivers here in this one as well. The Saints don't want to get Antonio Brown, and they don't really want to go after another wide receiver. They like what they have in Cameron Meredith. They like what they have in Tre'Quan Smith. Maybe you double down 2 years in a row and get a wide receiver. I'm looking at guys like Terry McLaurin out of Ohio State. He could really move up the field extremely fast. And maybe you give Tre'Quan Smith a run for his money and pick Terry McLaurin out of Ohio State. Saints obviously love the Ohio State players. I would not be surprised if the Saints went out and got McLaurin. To me, I think he's that player. You put him in right away, and he can have a big impact. When you're looking also, if you want more of a possession receiver, Keelan Doss and Andy Isabella, to me, are really good route runners. And I think that they could, even though they're coming from smaller schools, UMass and UC Davis in the football department, I do think that these guys, they're seasoned, they run extremely good routes. They may be not as Andy Isabella, but Keelan Doss, I think he's a little slow on the slower side, but he's a really good route runner, and he's a good high point on the ball. Andy Isabella is so shifty and fast. He could be a really good slot receiver if they want. The Saints want that, and I think he could be very good there. And then finally, our fifth storyline, and this is, to me, the biggest storyline. I think this is where the Saints may wind up in the news, is I'm going to look out for trades and also signings, re-signings. I do think that the Saints, they're meeting with Mark Ingram this week, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints turn out a deal with Ingram and re-sign Ingram this week. You heard it here first. I don't know if it's going to happen, but that's just, I think the signs are pointing to an Ingram Saints reunion this week, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Also, look out for this AB trade. I think it may go down this week. I don't know if it's going to be at the Saints. I have no inside sources on that. But I would look at just all the signs. If you're really analyzing it, all the signs are pointing that he's going to go soon, because the Steelers, they just can't take this anymore. He's talking on social media, you know, always. He's always creating headlines. I mean, look, we've talked about this trade rumor for like 3-4 episodes straight, and it's because every day new stuff come out. It just comes out. And it's usually by Antonio Brown, straight from Antonio Brown, excuse me. And then sometimes it's also from, you know, guys like Tom Parasaro. He seems like he's on it. Reporters like that. They've been always putting out a lot of stuff on this, and we are definitely going to tell you. But I do think that trades will go down. I think the Saints will get Mark Ingram this week. If you want my bold take of the week, I think it's the Saints will pick up Mark Ingram this week and get him back on a 2-year deal. Also, really quick, I forgot to put it in the news segment earlier, but the Saints did cut Kurt Coleman, as I think you probably have heard from this point. The news came out right after our last episode. But what I do think about the cut, I think it just means, like, we knew he was going to get cut. I think we knew that from the first week, really, of this whole offseason. I think he could come back for a leadership role on like a $1 million deal, maybe a veteran minimum. Not for, you know, $7 million. I'll eat the dead cap and save $4 million. I think with that $4 million, I think the Saints will sign Mark Ingram. I think when coming into it, the Saints are going to be looking after the Ingram deal. If the Saints would make that, they probably would have not a high cap hit. Right now they have about 12. Let's say Ingram signs for like 5 or 6. Then you're down to, you know, that 7 range. And I do think that the Saints will restructure Drew Brees, and they will get a lot of cap. I think they'll get $10 million in cap out of that, and I wouldn't be surprised there. But Kurt Coleman, he just underperformed anywhere he played this year besides the leadership role and the locker room role, which is obviously very, very vital. But for that kind of money, he needed to be playing good on the field. And that's why the Saints may look at another safety to replace him. But Von Bell did a really good job. Got to give it to Von Bell. Because we're going to get into it on our next episode, because we're going to be talking about the secondary. But Von Bell, very, very good this year. He did a really, really good job at covering, at doing really good at tackling. He's a really, really good tackler. And also just a playmaker around the ball. He's a really good player, and I think he's really coming into his own now. And maybe you don't even need that third safety. If you do, I would look at maybe you re-sign a Kenny Vaccaro-type player. Like, I don't think the Saints would go after him, but there's so many safeties this year. And obviously, all the Saints fans are going to want the Honey Badger. I wouldn't be surprised if the Honey Badger signed with the Saints, but I would not count on it, and that's not the first move, I would make for the Saints. But with all that said, I think it is time to wrap up this podcast. If you like this podcast and like this episode, you can follow us on Twitter at the Hoot at This, on Instagram at Hoot at Discussion, on Podomatic at Hoot at Discussion, and then also you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, our iTunes channel, our Google Play channel, and our Spotify channel at the Hoot at Discussion as well. On YouTube, please subscribe, comment, like, hit that notification bell. It's just really, really helpful. On our last episode, we had a lot of talk in the comments, and it was a really, really good time. So thank you for everyone that commented down below. And then also on iTunes, please leave us a review and a rating. It's really helpful, because if you guys can give us those 5 stars rating and those good reviews, we can give you more content. And that's definitely what we're looking for. And then also on Spotify is you could download the episodes, do all that good stuff. It's very helpful for me, get the Spotify following up as well. Just everyone that's, you know, liked, that left a rating, that left a review, that comments, that really does anything with the podcast, that even follows us on Twitter and Instagram. Everyone that's done that, just thank you so much. And thank you for the Hoot at Nation, who, you know, 6 months before, this podcast wasn't even a thing. And now we are definitely growing. Obviously, we're still growing, but it's definitely been a really fun time with you guys. And I can't wait to look more into the free agency and the draft and just this whole offseason ride until we get to that 2019 season. And I just can't wait for that. So with all that said, I want to say thank you, prove them right, and Hoot at.